Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Christopher Hall Show on the Neil Haley Show. I'm excited to welcome the program Dr. Christopher Hall. Dr. Hall, how are you? What's gone? Thank you for your service. He's Nobel Prize nominated doctor, best-selling author. Chris, what's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Just working and enjoying the summertime weather. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not enjoying the Texas weather. It's too hot. And I'm excited to welcome to the show WCW and WWE legendary wrestler and most inspirational speaker, speaks to kids, does all these great things. He has so many different projects, Mark Mero. Mark, thanks for stopping by, man. How are you?
Neil, it's great to see you. And Chris, Dr. Chris, great to have you on the phone, man. Looking forward to this, man. I've been waiting to do this for a couple weeks now, and I'm excited about talking with you guys.
All right. We appreciate that, Mark. So Chris, go ahead. First question for Mark.
No problem. Well, Mark, you know what? We know a lot about you from wrestling and the things you're doing now. But did you always want to do wrestling? How'd you get into wrestling?
You know, it's kind of a funny thing. I didn't become a professional wrestler until I was 31 years old. And, my first love was hockey, and I made it all the way to the juniors. And then, of course, I went into I played football where I was a first team all county under George O'Leary, who became a national champion with Georgia Tech. And then I got into boxing and I ended up winning the New York State Golden Gloves state championships on four occasions. Made some really bad choices in life, went down a bad road, got involved with drugs, and 10 years of my life went by. And next thing I know, I was watching TV with a bunch of my buddies over my apartment. One of my buddies had the remote and he was like flipping through the TV channels and he landed on professional wrestling. And I always knew I was a good athlete. And I just said to everybody, hey guys, I could do that. They busted out laughing. They go, look at the size of those guys. They'll pick you up over their head and throw you right out of that ring. I said, no, I'm telling you, I can do that. So it's always about taking action towards a goal. Now, that was a new goal I had. Is now, how do I get into wrestling? Well, I found out there was a wrestling school in Tampa, Florida, Malenko, Dean Malenko, Joe Malenko, and his dad was Boris Malenko. So I lived in Venice, Florida. It was about an hour away, and I started driving there after work and on weekends, got off drugs. And 1 year later, I was signed to my first contract with WCW Wrestling as the character Johnny B. Badd.
Right. And so, Mark, I want to jump back into this, and this is interesting when you talk about the drugs and the alcohol, going down that path. The boxing, is it from the pain in boxing that led to the addiction?
No. My whole life, I was always an athlete, and I never had an off season. I was doing three sports, and I always never had an off season. And I would always remember when I got into high school, all my buddies would be going to parties and having fun on weekends and stuff. And I could never do that because I was always training for a competition or something. And in some weird way, I felt like I was missing out on something, And after I turned professional in boxing, and I became a member of the U.S. boxing team. I moved to Colorado Springs, Colorado. I trained at the U.S. Olympic Training Center. And while I was there, I realized I was one of the best fighters in the country. So I decided to turn professional. 2 weeks before my first professional boxing match in my hometown in New York, I had my nose shattered in an accident. I needed reconstructive surgery. And in that time off, I thought, man, I'm just going to have some fun for a change. Doctor thought it'd be about almost a year before I could go back and start having full contact again. So in that time was the first time I started really going to parties and having fun. And next thing I know, drinking, and that led to drugs. And next thing I'm drunk and high, and I got addicted to cocaine. And then spent 10 years of my life in addiction, but always knowing I missed out on all these sports I was so proficient at. And it always bothered me. And then when I had the opportunity to get into wrestling, man, I took it and made it and did, and then I wrestled on and off for 14 years.
All right, Chris, next question for Mark.
Wow, that's great. And, he certainly had a tough travel, with addiction and now doing the great things he's doing. So now, Mark, let me ask you this. What would say maybe one of your favorite boxing matches? I mean, what if you had to say?
One of my personal favorite boxing matches?
Yeah, yes.
There was a guy I fought in the finals of the Empire State Games. It was for the gold medal, And the guy's name was Jame the Hammer Degree. And he was knocking out everybody in the first round. And everyone, this was when I was very young in my career. And everyone thought that, you know, that this guy's going to knock me out. And I just wanted to prove everybody wrong. And I ended up beating him and winning the gold medal in the Empire State game. So that's one that always sticks out in my mind. It wasn't the most devastating fight, but it was the one that had so much pressure on me going in, because he claimed he was going to knock me out like everybody else in the first round. And I destroyed him, man. I came out there, I was just too strong for him. And I had an incredible wind. My endurance was incredible. So I just demolished him in the third round.
Now, Mark, when you talk about specifically enough, the boxing and wrestling, which one do you think took more pain towards head injuries, boxing or wrestling?
I would say wrestling. You know, in boxing, I really didn't get hit a lot, or I'd never been knocked out or knocked down. Really? So, yeah. So, but the difference is that boxing, you have a boxing match every, you know, few months.
Right.
Where wrestling, you know, we were doing 250 cities a year, and the constant trauma you take it on your body hitting the mat. You know, you remember you're landing on your back a lot of times, but your head is also hitting many times, you know? So it really took a toll on your body. And I think that's why so many professional wrestlers became addicted to pain medication. That was the number one cause of many of the deaths that we lost. So many of the guys that I wrestled against that started with pain. It starts with pain medication.
The amount of bumps and things like that, and head trauma and head injuries. How many concussions do you think you had? I probably think I had maybe 3 or 4 in wrestling. I can remember, but it's very hard because we just go to the next night, and there was not doctors at that time really checking us for these specific things, especially taking chair shots to the head and stuff.
You know, it's funny that you asked that. I was at Diamond Dallas Page's house yesterday, and he reminded me of a story when I wrestled a Raven. At that time, he was called Scotty Flamingo in WCW. Wow. And we wrestled at the Omni in Atlanta. And Dallas told me the story about how I came back, and I asked him, did I wrestle yet? And he said, Mark, you just came from the ring. I go, I can't even remember the match. I hit my head so hard in that match. I didn't remember how we finished. How I even, you know, and I was supposed to win. I think Scotty pulled me on top of him and had the referee count, you know. I don't remember anything about the match. And so I remember that obviously was a serious concussion. But the next day we're doing, Monday Night Raw or whatever it was, you know. I mean, there's no, like you said, there was no doctors really checking on us, or there was no concussion protocol or anything that they
had. Not even in the big time, like in the minor leagues, forget about it. We bust up and we go to the next town and Independence and forget about it, right? For the $40, yeah. The next town.
And you know, the chair shots, you know, we were really hitting each other in the head with the chair.
Exactly.
And I mean, those really knock you for a loop. You know, when you get hit hard in the head with a chair, that's a real chair. People go, oh, isn't it fake? Isn't it fixed? No, it's a real steel chair that we got hit with every single time that, you know, it was called for in the match. You knew it was coming, but it doesn't lessen the blow.
Exactly. All right, Chris, next question for Mark. Let me see something. Give me a second. All right. Okay. We'll just keep going. So basically, Mark, if when you're talking about specifically wrestling, we talked about it. You still ended up in some addiction issues, even in wrestling, right? Even though you overcame it. That's the other part of your transformation story is that addiction did hit you even in wrestling. You had a very successful wrestling career. First Johnny B. Badd, then, you know, came Mark Mero in WWE. But at that time, you had lots of challenges and addiction. Kind of go into that.
Yes. You know, it's funny because my whole life I dreamed of becoming, you know, like every kid, you want to be rich and famous. You want to be able to buy a fancy car, a nice house. And I obtained all those material things, but still would go on the road and party with the guys. And next thing you know, the bar owners are leaving the bars open all night for you. And there's a lot of temptation, and a lot of drugs, and everybody's giving you stuff. Remember, I would have to pay for drugs. Now people are just giving it to me, you know? And then, you know, I eventually met Rena, who became my wife, Sable, and I got off the drugs. We went to WWE, and it wasn't until after we left the WWE and she went back and I didn't go back. But that's when you know, obviously our marriage fell apart and I got really heavily into drugs then. And that's where I really went south and probably almost killed myself, you know, many times. I mean, I overdosed on drugs on three occasions that I could actually remember that I couldn't believe I even woke up from it, you know? So I went down a real, you know, it's like, I often say like I hit rock bottom and then found out that rock bottom had a basement, you know, it was that bad. I just didn't want to be here anymore. And then I made this amazing comeback in life. And I think the gift that God gave me is I understand what people go through. And so when I talk to someone, it isn't like you're telling me something I don't know or haven't experienced when someone tells me they're suicidal or don't want to be here anymore. And I often tell this story is that like, if I would have ended my life back then in 2003, I never would have known all the beautiful things that were planned for me or that I had in my life that would come later on. And oh my gosh, I am so thankful. Every day I wake up, man, I look up and I just thank God that I didn't pull the trigger that day and end it all because, man, I'm living the most incredible life and the joy I have is helping someone else. There's no greater joy than helping another person.
That's so, so true. And I think that, Chris, are you back on? I got you back on. I guess somehow it's having technical difficulties, no worries. So basically what I was saying is that that time mark, when I think about specifically enough, you giving that joy to people and doing all these things, that's more fulfilling than when you were in pro wrestling, it sounds like. It seems like the way you're able to give back in this whole transformation story to this point where you're rock bottom, thinking of killing yourself, to now helping others. You brought up more about that helping aspect. Explain that in more detail, like that feeling of giving and how everyone else should give as much as you're giving in life, because then you feel fulfilled and you feel like every day is a great day to get up and wake up each morning.
You know, anyone that is going through something in their life, if they help someone else go through it, or they help someone else that is going through, whether it's addiction or depression or anxiety or self-harm or suicidal thoughts or whatever it is, you know, I think that this joy that came into my life and realizing, you know, we're all going to leave a legacy and my legacy is not going to be how nice my house was or what kind of car I drove or how much money I had. My legacy is going to be the difference I was able to make in someone else's life. You know, I've been doing this going into my 16th year speaking at schools. So what's so cool now is that many students or adults that write to me saw me back when they were in middle school or high school, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And now they have their own business, they're a professional athlete, they have a record deal, and they attribute the day I came to their schools, the day that changed or saved their life. And I get letters like that almost every day.
Now, see, that's the thing. I remember when you first started doing this and I had you on back in that time. Now we're sitting here now today, 15 years later, and then you made it through the COVID thing, figuring out changes and transforming how you would do speaking. Now you're back speaking at schools again. I just see these videos and they're so transforming because of kids that are being bullied. And it was when the first time I talked to you did a radio interview with you, and then I had you back on a couple of years before. The thing, Mark, that makes me feel is that kids are being bullied every day and you're here for them. You truly are here for them. And you had that one viral video that changed everything even more to transform what you're doing. But it's all about helping. And then every time you're sharing that inspiration to people, and the kids just know you truly are there for them. You truly want to help them and you're staying for all of them. It's got to feel so joyful, but it also has to be so transforming that you have saved kids' lives. You have saved so many people's lives when you are going to take your own life.
Yeah. And that's back to what I said is I never would have known all the beautiful things that would have came in my life. And especially when I get a letter from a kid that said you changed or you saved my life. There's no greater joy. And it's like, you know, up until the pandemic came, we averaged 230 events a year after year. Oh, and you know, Neil, is when I retired from wrestling and my last match was over in Europe, in England. And I remember flying home thinking, I never got to travel again. I could just stay home. I'm tired. And next thing you know, I'm right back out there. And like I said, this will be my 16th year. Now, what happened was when the pandemic came, you know, obviously we couldn't speak at schools anymore. So we had the, almost 2 years off of presenting. We were doing viral presentations, virtual presentations. And obviously it's never the same because, you know, being in front of the kids and then getting to meet kids after, you never know when a kid needs a hug or a high five or a kind word or something that you're right there sharing with them. So now we're back in schools and our September schedule is just crazy already, man. So we're booking schools all over the country. And, you know, it's crazy. Just before the pandemic, we were in Guatemala. We spoke in Russia, presented at schools over in Russia, you know. We go to the United States and Canada, and we'll be back up averaging quite a few events this year, this coming school year, providing that we don't have any more problems with, you know, pandemic and monkeypox and all the other.
Right. Were you able to kind of change your business model in a way to be able that they were interested in that, the virtual end of speaking to kids? How did you do these virtual events that you keep doing and doing the going to the schools too?
Well, you know, we built a studio for this. I have a studio. I'm at my home right now. This is where I do my podcast, but I have another room that I have a studio where I could stand up and have green screen and everything else where I can do a virtual presentation. I really like to be live in front of the kids because, you know, the coolest thing is that many schools now see the impact it has on students. So they allow the kids that want to stay after to meet me. And it's funny because when I speak to an auditorium full of kids, it's like almost every kid wants to meet me or talk to me or so the kids are all lined up, you know, and it's just crazy. And obviously I don't have a lot of time with each kid, but I will share with them if they start telling me a pretty in-depth story. I go, I do want to hear this, but please, I want you to email me or write to me, direct message me on social media, and I will get back to you because, you know, there's so many kids that obviously you've got to, you know, be there for. And many kids that come up to me are crying or, you know, they're hugging their friend or, you know, they all have a story. We all have a story.
So, Mark, you've grown and expand this. Social media, first the viral stuff with YouTube. Now we're seeing you out on social media going viral in so many other places. Where do you go? Where are you going next? Because I think that you spoke to kids and you want to continue that market. But I think that Mark, especially being next to Mr. Entrepreneur himself, which DDP is just freaking amazing. What he's been able to do with DDP yoga and then expanding it more and more. I'm sure having you two in the same room together, having lunch or breakfast or dinner together or working out together, the ideas start flowing, don't they?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I just spent the other day with him and Jake Roberts the other day. And we just have such a good time, man. I tell you, we come up with ideas and I'm going to start going over to his house or he'll come to my house and we'll shoot some videos. We'll answer questions that people write to us. So we got some ideas that we want to do together. But right now what we're doing is we're just sharing each other's reels, you know, 1 minute motivational. I call it the Meryl's Motivational Minute, you know, because I realize that people don't have a lot of attention span. You know, you don't want to do like a 15 minute thing where people are going to go, oh my gosh, I can't listen to all this right now. But when you put something together that's only 30 seconds to a minute, anybody can watch it. So it's doing really well and people are starting to share and we're getting more and more people that follow us and then share the media, the things that help other people. But every single day, I get someone that says, I needed to hear this today. This one saved me or changed me or whatever it would be. And Dale says, DDP, the same thing. He's saying the same thing that how many times that he gets these same messages that I'm getting.
So you're both on that, doing those inspirational messages. So are there projects in the works with you in Dallas or that you can't say yet?
You know what? We're definitely going to do something together. We're just trying to come up with the right. We're so busy, both of us, and especially when school starts, man, I'm on the road all the time. And Dale's got so many irons in the fire of all, you know, his acting career and a lot of things, his speaking career. That's another thing that I did over the summer was I did some corporate events. Okay. Which was really fun to do because I, you know, I'm always around students, but when I spoke at the corporate events, I couldn't believe the reaction of adults. And I use this, Neil, and it's very important, is that as adults, we tend to become complacent in life. One day becomes the next. And we say things like, I wish I would have, or I wish I could have, or we say things like, those were the days. Right. I'm here to tell you, these are the days. These are the days we learn from past mistakes. We grow in grace and knowledge. We can accomplish anything we set our minds to. You want to write a book? It's so easy to write a book now. You want to start a business? There's so many things that we have opportunities now that we can do, but I don't want to look back on my life and say, why didn't I at least try? Neil, I'm never going to retire. I'm just going to refire. And that's...
Did you put that quote? I'm going to refire. Is that on one of your quotes?
It is. I'm not going to retire. I'm going to refire. And because I think when we stop dreaming, we stop living. Neil, I don't want to say those were the days, because it's almost saying like my best days have already passed me. I believe that the rest of my life will be the best of my life. My best years are ahead of me. And I'm so excited about pursuing this and every day, because every day, like you'll see, I don't know if you've seen some of my motivational videos that I'm doing.
Yeah,
I'm
walking
my dog. I'm in my backyard, you know, I'm home. It's so much fun. And I just go, I come up with this, an idea or something. I walk the dog. I just hold the phone up in the air. And, my dog's over there pooping or peeing or something. And I'm doing some motivation. I showed Dallas one the other day that I actually showed. It was a video that I made. And I said, Dallas, I'm going to show you the outtake of this video, one that I did not share. Okay. And it's me talking. And I go over, I go, hey, this is Mark. I'm walking my dog, Rocco. And there's Rocco squatting down, taking a big old dump. You know, and I said, hey, I'm not going to be using this one.
Just got to keep rolling, keep rolling.
Yeah, we got a kick out of it and had a good laugh together.
Right. And so do you see yourself doing more and more corporate, or is the kids just the thing that's really always going to be your thing?
During school, obviously, my focus is on the kids. I mean, the cool thing about the corporate thing is obviously that it's financially, it's much better, and it helps structure the money for many of the schools that we do. Many schools don't have any money, and it's very difficult. And, you know, flights have gone up 35%. Rental cars have almost doubled. Hotels, everything is so expensive now to travel. And so many, there's so many less flights. Thank goodness I live in Atlanta, where it's one of the biggest hubs. But to get in and out of places has been a little more difficult. So we got our challenges ahead of us, but the corporate has helped us. And our sponsor, we got a couple wonderful sponsors, Commulus Communications and Soper. Dave Soper, who does consulting, he has really helped us out a lot. Just got a heart for kids. It's not even like they even want us to promote their company. They just want to help us.
They want to help kids. It's a great,
great
message, because you're helping and saving people's lives. I'm waiting for, you probably the next step for you, as my ideation's going with kids, is that this ultimately you should be end up at with the president talking about how you're here to fight bullying. This is the thing that you can do, is you're being that inspiring person. The next step is for you to take this even further, not just from school to school, but a way to really decrease bullying, increase helping these kids that are cutting themselves, suicide prevention, all these things you are doing every time you do your events and changing lives. You need to change lives even further, where you can't be there and they understand your religion and understand what you're doing.
You know, Neil, that is a great thing you just said. And we are actually trying to do that. I have a friend on Twitter. Her name is Zena. And she is Vinny Pazienza. Remember Vinny Pazienza, the boxer?
Yes.
She kind of manages his career. And she is just taking, I spoke at her daughter's school, and her daughter couldn't stop talking about the presentation. So she has been writing to the first lady, the president, about me and helping me to try to facilitate this. And I got to tell you, the problem we're seeing at public schools, I really have my finger on the pulse of what's happening in our country, because I'm with the kids. I'm with the kids every day. They write to me, they open up to me, they talk to me, they share with me. And one of the problems we have is, you know, we have counselors at school that really, you know, that many of them are great counselors. They help the kids. I mean, they help them facilitate maybe what college they're going to or what classes to take and so on. They do help with some bullying and so on, you know. But the problem we have, Neil, is we don't have mental health specialists. We might have one for a whole district, and it takes weeks and weeks before a student could actually get in front of them. And when you have a kid that's suicidal or self-harming or depressed beyond belief, you know, that you need to get these kids help right away.
Totally.
And that's one of the problems we have. I mean, we're giving so much money to other places in our country and all the world, and we don't put enough money into our own education. Many of the classes these kids take, they will never even use. why are we not teaching kids about finance and about mental health, how they can get through some of this stuff? And you know, another thing is I'm seeing so many kids on medication today. I'm not against medication, but if my child was ever prescribed medication, I would just ask, maybe get a second or third opinion before you put your kid on medication. Because some kids are on medication the rest of their lives.
So you're speaking to the challenges that are happening, and you need to continue to get that. And the more viral you go on social media, the more the opportunity, then the president's going to learn about it. That's the bottom line.
I sure hope so, because right now it's falling on deaf ears, and people like Zena and others that are really helping me to move this forward. Because if you ever see one of my school presentations, I mean, many times a middle or high school give me a standing ovation. When does a kid even care about a 62-year-old guy coming out and talking to him, you know? So it's really fun, and I'm really enjoying this chapter of my life. And I just hope it continues. And who'd ever think at my age I'd be doing this? And it's the greatest gift in the world. I want to continue giving this gift and sharing this gift with others to help others.
All right. So where can people go, Mark, to find out information on you right now?
Well, our website is probably the best place, which is Think, T-H-I-N-K, Pause, which is P-O-Z as in zebra, thinkpause.org, thinkpause.org. And you can see videos on me. You can schedule me that way. You'll get answered right away if you write to us. Someone will get in touch with you. So we hope to get, obviously, continue booking throughout the year. We got September almost completely filled now. Now we're starting to work on October. And as we get closer to the summer ending, I'm sure we're going to get a lot more scheduled events.
All right. So, and you're thinking that more in-person bookmark today. Your shows, as I remember when you first talked about it, it's like going to a WWE event, right? You're not
going to get... I have a multimedia presentation. So as I'm talking, things are happening behind me on the big screen, you know, where I lived and grew up and pictures of me younger and different things I experienced in my life. But the other thing I want to say, Neil, is that anyone that is listening to this podcast can also find me on a Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Just type in my name. You'll find me very easily. But that's where we're putting up these 1 minute Merrill's Motivational Minute. And you can hashtag that Merrill's Motivational Minute. You'll find me in the different social media outlets.
Your podcast? Tell us about your podcast.
I don't have a podcast. I go on other people's podcasts.
Oh, I thought you had a podcast.
No. Podcast. I have friends like incredible friends like you, Neil, that allow me on their podcast. I just at this time don't have a time to do a podcast every week but it's fun to go on other people's podcasts because it's you know usually a half hour an hour.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You go and do that. You're right. That's time. Yeah. That's time. There's a lot more work involved than your own podcast. Got it. Well, appreciate it, Mark. Thanks again for stopping by. And take care.
Neil, always great to see you, man. God bless you.
Yeah, take care. All right, see you.
Bye-bye.